Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, a radio show that always champions the local comic book shop, broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station. Chris, thanks to you and me.
Thanks to us.
Yep, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I'm Walter DeRiley, an Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, Chris and I gather weekly to dispense... what are we dispensing?
Knowledge, entertainment.
And, we're like a... I guess so, yeah.
No, we're like an old married couple, really.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. We're like an old married couple. And we're like a dispensary.
A dispensary.
Yeah, and we are dispensing comic wisdom.
Wisdom among the ages.
So I expect everybody out there in listener land to get their paper and pencil.
Well, yeah, you know, sharpen the pencils, take notes. There will be an exam later on.
Well, and what you're hearing is going to be worth hearing.
Absolutely. All right, listen, you know what? Let's, as you know, we like to talk about new comics this week, and of course, every week we have a sponsor.
Yeah, and this week is sponsored by Bushmills.
Bushmills.
Single malt 10-year-old club soda.
Oh, look at that.
Bushmills is the official club soda of this year's podcast.
Oh, well, you know, that's very nice of them to help us out with that.
Oh, they didn't help us out. We had to pay for it.
Oh, okay, right.
All right.
Pardon me.
Okay.
I need some more of that Bushmills.
A little more Bushmills.
All right, listen.
What's going on, Chris, in the world of you this
well,
week?
Well, of course, you know, not this week, however, the end of next week, next Friday, is the premiere of Black Panther.
That's right.
So, of course, we have Black Panther, The Sound and the Fury, number
the
one.
The Sound of Music.
The Sound. Black Panther. The fields are alive with the sound of music. Black Panther.
Hey, Black Panther. These are a few of my favorite things. Killmonger. I wanted to rhyme them all.
Yeah. Well, so this one is The Sound and the Fury. This is by Ralph Macchio and Andrea Davidi.
Ralph Macchio. But he's doing now.
Well, right? Yeah, he's no longer on Happy Days.
Chachi.
It's Chachi.
Good for
you. You know, Jordan Loves Chachi. That was actually the number one show in Korea, apparently.
I was going to say the Philippines.
No, there's a reason for it, but I can't tell you why. But Chachi apparently does not mean Chachi.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah, so, yeah. Anyways.
Bunch of pervs over in
Anyways, look it up.
The pervs in the peninsula.
So here we got Black Panther, The Sound and the Fury. Now, if in fact you weren't too sure about the origin of Black Panther, this is actually the perfect book to get because it actually has a reprint of the origin story of the first, I think it's the first appearance, number 53, is that correct?
53 is the second appearance.
Second origin issue. So this is the origin issue.
Yes.
So here we go. This is the origin issue, the way it began.
Yeah, nice Jack Kirby art.
Jack Kirby art with Stanley doing the writing.
And the man. Stan the man, by the way, thank the Lord.
Thankfully.
He was out of hospital.
Yes.
Late last week after we aired the show, I think last Friday, he had to be admitted.
Yeah, he was due
Cyanide. Good, but... the word is that he's doing great. He's back home and
he's
probably signing books.
Well, I did hear that he's going to be he's continuing his convention appearances. He's not canceling anything.
Good for him.
So yeah, he's all good. It's all good.
We wish you well, Stan.
So yeah, hey, do you have your tickets for Black Panther yet?
Do you have to buy tickets now?
Well, generally that's the way movies go.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I swear I did not know that. I just wait for the movie to come out and then you go.
Well, yeah. Well, that would be illegal, but sure.
What do you mean?
Just going.
No, you go there and you buy your ticket.
Did you get your tickets?
Well, it's not up yet. Why would I get my tickets?
Well, you can get the pre-selling. Yes.
This is the trend that I'm not aware of.
So they have this thing called the internet.
I've heard of it.
And on this internet, you can actually go on what they call online.
Uh-huh.
And
wait a minute, I'm writing all this down.
Sharpen your pencil. There will be a quiz afterwards, so you can actually, much like a theater production and or a concert, you can actually buy your tickets in advance for said time and day of movie theater showings.
I did not know that.
Yes. So if in fact you wanted to go on opening day, you would have had to buy, of course, your ticket probably a couple weeks ago at least.
Really, it's like that far in advance.
Yep. So.
So are you going opening night?
I am, as a matter of fact.
Now let me ask you something, Irv Weinstein.
Yes, please.
Do you get to pick your seat?
So
there's a little graphic come out.
Well,
the movie theater, red and green, on where you can sit.
Yes and no. As my uncle used to say you're half right, but all wrong.
Like your uncle. I told you that before.
So, yes, in fact, you can do it, but only at certain theaters.
Ah.
So generally, say, for example, the IMAX theater at Silver City, the VIP theaters have them where you can pick your own seats. The I think AVX theater has you pick your own seats.
Mm.
So it's a little bit more expensive to be able to pick your own seat.
Right.
However, you don't have to wait in line.
Why not? If you're going to go all
out. Tonight out anyways.
Take the missus on a night out, exactly. Might as well spend the extra dime.
100%. So anyways, yeah. So Black Panther comes out February the 16th. Officially, I think some people usually go on the 15th for a pre-screening or something. But anyways,
All right. Okay. Good to know.
Yep. Okay.
Hey, wait a minute. Oh. Black Panther, The Sound and the Fury number one is at your local comic book shop today. So pick that up and get all, you know, jacked for the movie.
Jacked. So now, of course, so Black Panther is one Marvel movie coming out. But of course, the other big Marvel movie
coming out soon
is...
Avengers Infinity
War. Yay! There you go. And of course, now we have Infinity Countdown with Adam Warlock. So now we don't know for sure if Adam Warlock is going to be in the Infinity War movie. Uh-huh. However, this is going to have, and I don't really think it, I don't think it's going to have Adam Warlock in it, but you never know. But this is, it's called Infinity Countdown, Adam Warlock, and it's by Jerry Duggan, who is a big writer for Deadpool for a long time. And I'm really impressed with the fact that they have Michael Allred as the artist for this, which is nice to see Michael Allred doing some classic Marvel.
He's kind of like a little different.
Yeah, so you know, him doing Kang and Vision and Thor and all that, it's awesome, right? So,
all right, Chris, join me on this one. Ready?
It's Infinity Countdown!
Number one at your local comic book shop.
All right. Let's go back to DC now. Now, I bring this one up because...
Why did you bring this one up?
Well,
I want to know.
It's Green Lantern's number 40. And so it's a week early. However, next week is a special week for us and for some comic books because it's Valentine's Day.
Right.
Now, you may be asking yourself... What's that got to do with Green Lantern? Well... as a matter of fact, there's a probably not much, but there is a Valentine's Day.
Oh, what
there's
a
giant heart over, you know.
And who's the other Lantern? Mrs. Lantern.
Mr. and Mrs. Lantern. They're having a great time here.
He better be careful not to knock over her lantern.
Oh, that's very true. Very true. So Mr. and Mrs. Lantern are having a great time here. But more importantly,
do they have little lanterns running around?
You know, you have to read the comic. Yeah, I don't want to spoil it. More importantly, you may be asking yourself, why is it important for us?
Why is
next
it
week?
Of course, well, you have to know.
Well,
this is the
annual Valentine's Day poem off.
You know what, Chris? Nielsen's does ratings, and our number one rated show every year is the Valentine's.
Is the poem
show.
Off? Yeah. Yeah. So make sure you. You know what? I'm going to put out a challenge to our listeners.
A challenge,
as it were. That if they think that they have a Valentine's Day poem worthy enough for us,
email us. Walt@bigbcomics.com.
There you go. Or you can also put it in the comment section of this week's comicdaily.com.
And you can post it anonymous. I'll pretend not to read your email address. And just say anonymous, or just say, "Hey, my cousin wrote this."
There you go. Perfect.
Yes, we're looking for your. And like I said last week, Chris, we're expecting we have a pretty good guest list.
Well, I've heard there's a possibility of
some guests,
some big name celebrities coming by and doing
to do their poems
doing their
because
poems.
They're excited about it as well.
That's right.
All right, Chris, that's Green Lantern number 40, and that is at your local comic book shop today.
All right, now the next one I'm going to talk about here. It's actually a reprint.
Oh, it is?
Now, you might be saying yourself.
Why would you pick a reprint to talk about?
For a new comic. Yeah, it's a great, great question, Walt. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
Because it's an amazing comic, and I think anybody out there who's, you know what, you may be out there saying right now, I'm getting bored with today's comics.
I'm getting bored with the show.
No, with today's comics.
Oh, today's comics.
Yes.
Right.
And in fact, then I would say to you, well, then you need to read Mr. Miracle. Now, you may also be saying, Who gives a two craps about Mr. Miracle?
No.
Well, Mr. Miracle is a classic DC character created by Jack Kirby. And you know what? You need to read this comic because it is a fantastic story by Tom King, who is currently writing Batman as well. And the art is awesome. The story is great. You know, I can't say enough good things about this. This is the one where they had the first Brian Michael Bendis anything was a quote on Mr. Miracle saying how this is the one book that everybody needs to read. Right. Not that Brian Michael Bendis is the end-all, be-all.
Well, he knows his comics.
He knows his comics.
He knows what he's doing. Hey, listen, Mr. Miracle, this is number 2 of 12.
But it's all reprints, so I believe they're reprinting all the first ones that are out so far.
Uh-huh.
So if you've missed them and you want to get caught up, this is the right time to do it.
Wonderful. They're at your local comic book shop.
All right, so we want to talk a little bit about, we're going to talk about this later on in the show, so I thought this was a timely piece.
Sure.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Universe by IDW.
TMNT.
Number 19. So this is, you know what, I just thought, you know what, why don't we have a TMNT book? We don't usually have it on very often. But there are a lot of TMNT fans out there, and why not showcase the fact that, you know, it's coming back to television, which we'll talk about in a minute. But yeah, so this is TMNT. It's got a cover by Raph Ienko, who is a local boy. I know that he's from the Hamilton, Toronto area, so why not, right? There you go.
All right, let me have a look at that, Chris. That's a good-looking cover. You know, this is a good-looking book.
Good-looking book.
It's a good-looking book. I like this book. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Universe. Number 19 at your local comic book shop today. Check that out.
Perfect. All right. So here's a book that I'm confused about, which, you know, isn't very surprising.
Often?
It's quite often. So Walt Disney Showcase number 1. So it's going to showcase all kinds of Mickey Mouse and Walt Disney characters.
That, of course, used to be a title in the 60s or 50s.
That's right. So Huey, Louie, and Dewey
and those
characters.
Remember ex-producer Shecky Feldstein's favorite band?
Oh, he used to love you.
Was Huey Louie.
Do you remember Shecky?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad
he's
not around anymore. Yeah, I got all big wig on us.
Yeah,
but anyways, you know, so Walt Disney Showcase, but here's what I'm confused about.
What are you confused about?
What comic book company does Disney own?
Marvel.
Correct. What company is the Walt Disney Showcase comic being published by?
IDW.
Correct. Why is that, Two Dogs? I don't quite understand that. Like, I don't understand.
Well, Chris, it's a long story.
Well, yeah.
But it all has to do with JB and RJ.
JB and RJ. You know, they just can't get along.
JB and BJ having a meeting. And things went well.
I'm sure they did.
All right, Walt Disney's Showcase, number 1 at your local comic
nice.
Shop.
Nice.
Hey, listen, that's Chris just picked a few, and there's tons more at your local comic book shop, so please walk in and peruse the new this week.
All right, listen, let's have a quick musical interlude here, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about comics. But, you know, have you ever wanted to go on a great adventure for yourself, Walt?
Always.
Well, this little guy did the same thing.
The greatest adventure is what lies ahead. Today and tomorrow are yet to be said. The chances, the changes are all yours to make. The mold of your life is in your hands to break. The greatest adventure is there if you're bold. Let go of the mold that life makes you bold. Measure the meaning can make you.
Stuff there, Chris. I really like that one. Yeah, explain.
I'm pretty sure that's from the Hobbit cartoon.
Oh,
I think it's the Hobbit cartoon. It could be the Lord of the Rings cartoon, but I think it's the Hobbit cartoon. It's all about, you know, Frodo or Bilbo and those O's going out and having the greatest adventure.
Wonderful. That is a fantastic piece. Thanks for sharing that.
No problem.
Hey, Chris, brings us to industry news, and industry news this week is sponsored by
yes,
BJ's Consulting Services.
Oh, nice.
If you're a JB, you need a BJ.
So it's so true.
Yeah.
Like, everybody needs a little BJ.
That's
like,
right.
Just
you need
guide us along.
Tells you what's so going on. Right.
All right, listen.
Sets things straight.
Sets the tone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Firms things up a little bit.
Sure does.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Conan. I want to talk about Conan. Conan, you're a favorite of mine. I mean, I know you're a huge Conan fan. I'm going to tell you, I'm a late Conan fan.
Right on.
I was probably in my 30s when I started reading the Conan novels.
Right. Weren't they fantastic?
Red Nails is still my favorite.
Yeah. When I read Red Nails, I was surprised by that. It took me by surprise, right? I didn't expect much from Red Nails. And when I read Red Nails, Chris, I'll come clean.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
As a young man in college, you sample a couple of things you shouldn't.
Yes.
Very lighthearted things.
Yep,
but
yep.
I've never been a drug consumer.
No,
but
me either.
It's like I dropped acid.
Oh, yeah.
It's like I was on a trip, I ate some mushrooms or something. It's like, I don't know where
it's
my brain went.
Yeah, it's
oh,
my
goodness.
It's, you know what? I'm going to say that, Red Nails, mm-hmm. Was a book that I didn't realize that what they would call pulp novels could be so entertaining and enlightening, but so literary at the same time, right? Like it was.
Well, Robert E. Howard was an extremely powerful writer.
Yeah.
I think because he lived in isolation, really, in Texas, in a corner of Texas, in a dusty corner of Texas. It's almost like because he wasn't out and about. He was good enough to get published in better places, but
right.
It's almost like he mailed his stories into pulp rag that took it. And they go, hey. JB sitting there going, look here, BJ, this thing is good.
This is good stuff. Right? But you know what? So same thing, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say the same thing happened with H.P. Lovecraft.
Right.
Undoubtedly the second most famous horror novelist, second most important horror novelist behind Edgar Allan Poe.
Right.
Because he took horror to a whole other level. But again, all of his stuff was in like Strange Tales.
Yeah, exactly. Weird Tales.
Pulp Magazine, right? So anyways.
So
Conan.
So who's that guy? Mimosa? What's the guy's name? The guy that plays Aquaman.
Jason Momoa.
Momoa?
Momoa.
He can mix me a mimosa. Hey, Momoa.
Give me a mimosa. I bet you would never say that to him in person.
You kidding me? He's a fish man.
So he was Conan.
Let me ask you a question.
Ask me. Anytime now.
Conan is an awesome character.
Yeah, awesome character.
And yet, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yep.
Did a fantastic Conan, and everybody loved him.
Yep.
Mimosa. Not so much.
No, that's right.
Now, begs the question, I've always argued that, the fictional character is bigger than the actor.
Right.
But when we break it down, Chris, when we dissect it, if we go through the spectrum of comic book movies and stuff like that, maybe it is the actor.
But okay, but hold on a second here. So I think there are many factors at play.
Like?
So, for example, I didn't see the Conan with Jason Mimosa, but I didn't hear many good things about it. So, was that because...
Maybe it was because of Mimosa.
Or was it just a crappy script? Was it crappy directing? Who knows? Did you see some guy on their cell phone in the middle of a sword fight? Was it just bad timing? I don't know. I didn't see it, so I can't really give a good... critique of it, but what I can say is I think the character of Conan is bigger than Schwarzenegger. So
I agree, but you still need a Schwarzenegger's Conan is like Downey Jr.'s Iron Man. Like, you don't want,
right.
You want the character to survive, Hugh Jackman's Wolverine.
Right,
you
right.
Know? You know who's a character, by the way, just going off topic a
what's
bit.
That?
Well, still
who?
On topic, but who? You know who's a character that's done fantastic in the movies, to a degree, but that has not had the benefit, Chris, has not had the benefit of having that actor that is anchored to the role that we all fall in love with.
Who?
Okay, Downey's our Iron Man.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman's our Wolverine.
Yeah, for sure.
Who's our Spidey?
Yeah, you know what? It's great.
Right. So, as good as the Spidey movies have done with three Spidey actors, can you imagine if they nailed the Spidey actor to the point where we're all just, like, infatuated with this guy as Peter Parker?
I don't remember the kid's name, but the guy who's playing Spider-Man right now is very, very good.
It's a good-looking kid.
Good-looking kid there. I think he's better than Tobey Maguire and better than Andrew Garfield. You know, I don't remember the guy's name right now, but I think he's, to me, he's the best of the three of them.
Right, right. Then what you got to do then, if the public take to him, then what you got to do is you got to move the stories along to his age.
Right.
So, like, you know, Hugh Jackman, we had, like, Old Man Logan.
Yep.
Because he's getting
the tooth.
And that's just a smart play. You
yep.
can't have a young girl, like, you know what I mean?
But
so, Spider-Man, it has to be, like,
has the young man.
But eventually, though, if they're going to use the same actor, can't be playing a teenager at 35.
Hold on a second here.
He's got to be the married Spider-Man.
But I also don't want to see Old Man Logan, and then we're going to see Old Man Iron Man, and then Old Man Hawkeye, and then Old Man Hulk. I don't want to see Old Man everybody, just because we can't wrap our heads around the fact that we can't change who the actor is.
Old Man, nigga, look at my man. I got it.
Right? Like, I want to see some new blood.
That's a good point.
Right? I don't want to see Old Man everybody.
I never think things through.
Yeah, I know. It's fine. Let me think for you.
Okay, so this Conan.
Yeah.
So,
okay, we didn't even talk about anything.
Yeah.
All we've said so far is that
Spidey,
we need a new Spidey.
So this Conan. So they're going to a TV show, and this is what, Amazon?
So we should probably talk about what it is. So Amazon.
Hey, Chris, what do you fill everybody in?
Amazon is
we inform.
Enlighten.
And live informing.
A lot of
very little entertaining.
There's a lot of stuff going on. Amazon is creating a Conan TV series. According to Deadline, with some high-powered talent. So what does that mean? Well, a bunch of people who worked on Game of Thrones and
Handmaid's Tale,
Fargo, they're all...
So they got some good directors, producers,
right.
behind-the-scenes guys lined up.
You know what?
TV's up there.
Okay, and here's the thing, though.
Here's the thing.
A lot of great people behind the camera
right.
Haven't said anything about the people in front of the camera.
Right.
And then
who do you get to play Conan?
Right.
Right.
Do you know what?
Well, do you give him an Austrian accent to transition us?
You could.
Huh?
Why not?
Yeah.
But, okay,
hey, look. I know you're Welsh.
But the problem is,
like a little...
How many...
Bavaria.
How many muscle-bound steroid freaks are there out there that can play a Conan-type character?
But hold on. See, that's the problem.
What's the problem?
Frazetta and Schwarzenegger ruined everything.
Right!
Because the weird tales Conan's from the 30s, the depictions are just like of a Tarzan-esque
They're just
type.
Muscular guys.
Yeah, and what's his name?
Momoa?
No, Barry Windsor Smith's first run of Conan was, again, Tarzan-esque muscular guy.
Yeah.
It's flipping Frazetta, and it's flipping Schwarzenegger
that
kind of ruined... We have to have Conan... Like, he's got to be either The Rock or Big.
Right, right.
He
can't
be, you know, just some guy in shape.
Okay, but so then who do you get? Do you get, you know, a guy? And plus, you know, you're going to have a young guy too, right? I don't want to see The Rock or, you know, or Goldberg or Stone Cold Steve Austin playing the character.
What do you call it? Or Stallone.
Stallone. Or, yeah, that'd be terrible.
I think I'd like Stallone.
No. It'd be awful.
Yo, Trump!
Grow!
Yo, Red Sonja!
What do you call her, Red Sonja, or just call her Sonja?
He would?
Yeah, Woody, I don't know.
I think you'd call her something else.
When you talk to Red Sonja, do you call her Red Sonja?
I just call her Red.
You just call her Sonja? Or Red?
Red. It's, if you're on a drinking basis with
her. I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, you call her Red.
I guess you call Black Panther Black Panther.
Uh-huh.
Because he's Black Panther. But what do you... I don't know. I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah. Pet names.
Pet
names.
Oh, okay.
Like BP.
All right. Listen, anyways. For those of you that are interested, there's a Conan TV series from Amazon coming out.
I'm going to watch that. I'm going to give that a chance. I'm going to give that a go.
So, well, here's the thing.
Here's
my question for you. I'm going to ask you something.
Ask me something.
So, recently, Marvel has announced that they've gone back and they've reacquired the rights to produce Conan comics.
Right. Now, they go way back.
So, they go way back, the original ones. And then it was bought out by Dark Horse.
Right.
Currently, Red Sonja, which was actually like an Archie Goodwin or Roy Thomas, I can't remember who it was, creation-ish for Conan for Marvel, is now being produced by IDW. So is this Conan series, in your opinion, part of a giant Conan resurgence, and therefore, will there be more value to the old Conan comics coming forthwith?
Well, I think there's definitely going to be value to Conan 1. I think so. I think Conan 1 will spike a little bit. Probably already has. I haven't looked. The Sword and Sorcery genre, as my buddy used to call it.
Yeah. Or genre, as some people call it.
Genre.
Yeah.
Has kind of revived in a morphed way. It's morphed, the sword and sorcery genre, successful genre, has morphed with English Dark Age Arthurian lore.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
It's sword and sorcery slash
medieval times.
Medieval times, yeah. Right. So it's you know, like it could work. It's got to be serialized, but it definitely could work. And I think there's an appetite for it because you can see it. But I don't know about that purebred sword and sorcery. They're probably going to look at what's succeeding right now and the other things and kind of morph it into, you know, like some guy with singing with a lyre or something.
The greatest adventures.
You know what I mean? So. I want it to work, and I hope it's stays truer to the Robert E. Howard, you know, diction. You know what I mean?
Right.
But we'll see. I'm excited by it. I think it's a good move. I think Amazon also is serializing TV, the flipping Lord of the Rings too, right?
Right. Right. So
great is that going to be?
So
like you just geek out on old. Wizards and demons and
well, okay, so this is the thing. So,
swords.
But what I'm worried about
is...
What I'm worried about is the fact that, you know, are we going to get sick of sword and sorcery?
No, we're not. That's what people were saying. We're going to get sick of superhero movies 10 years ago.
Okay.
Look at us.
Okay.
Look at you now.
I guess, you know what? As long as they're well done...
Of course.
All right.
Stories. As long as there's enough scantily clad females.
Well, that's true. That is true. Yeah.
Guys like us will be watching.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Listen. Hey, do you watch our TV shows on the internet sometimes?
Sure do.
So you saw the full Solo, a Star Wars story.
You did send that to me, Chris, and I did watch it.
Okay, and what did you think of it?
Here's the thing.
It was just a teaser. You didn't get a whole lot. Here's the thing.
I'm worried.
You're worried?
You know how you and I were just discussing... Sometimes, Chris, sometimes... I don't know how to say this, right? So I'm just going to say it all wrong.
Just blurt it out, right?
Sometimes it's just random. Sometimes it's just you hit the nail on the head. You hit the horse on the butt. I don't know how to say it. But Harrison Ford playing Han Solo was the reason Han Solo is Megan.
Right, I totally agree.
Harrison Ford... was charismatic beyond charismatic. Of that whole crew, he was like, what am I doing here? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean. So my point is this. Man, this new kid.
Yeah.
Was Han Solo awesome because Harrison Ford portrayed him and because nobody really likes Skywalker when you think about it.
They do. Come on, he's the young kid, right?
I know, but he was annoying, and you were like, get away! Like, why are you on the screen? That's what I would say, you know. And I've seen. However, I'm saying it, I'm saying it wrong. I'm totally Star Wars fans. I'm sorry.
Okay, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
But it's like, you know, this is like one of the major characters of Star Wars, And really, if this is like a non-charismatic, oomph actor, and then the property's in trouble. That's what worries me the most.
Okay, so...
And what I saw of him at that clip, I couldn't reach judgment. I could not reach judgment.
So, and I don't blame it. First of all, there wasn't a whole lot of solo in the solo.
I kind of like the way it built up, kind of the scenarios it painted, and you know the story it was trying to frame.
But you know what? I follow them on our internets a little bit, and from what I'm hearing is that it's not a whole lot of good reviews about I can't remember the kid's name, whoever's playing Solo, about his acting ability.
Right.
So.
This is where it can go down. This is so important.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go into a role like, you know, case in point, I watched the other day there that Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was different. It was offbeat. But, you know, Ryan Gosling, it's like the first thing you say, well, Ryan Gosling isn't, you know, Harrison Ford. But the good point is they didn't make him Harrison
Ford. No, he's not supposed to be Harrison Ford.
Yeah, he was just a new guy doing the same thing Harrison Ford did before, and Harrison Ford was
involved.
But, you know, whereas this is totally different, you have to now assume the man. It's like Mimosa taking on something that Arnold made his own.
Yeah.
I'm afraid that Ford made Solo so much his own.
That
this new...
Well, could you ever see anybody else playing Solo besides Harrison Ford?
Well, you want to be able to.
You want
this guy. I don't know if this is the guy. That's my point. So, the jury's up.
Jury's up.
Okay.
All right, listen.
I'm really looking forward to this movie.
Do we want a musical interlude?
We sure do.
All right, let's have a quick musical interlude. Then we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about industry news and what's going on. What are we going to listen to this time? Let's go with... hold on a second here.
The Satanist theme song.
Let's go with... I don't know. How about a little...
Yeah, that one's good.
Spooky. Here we go.
Industry news part
deux.
Okay, brought to you by the Star Wars casting couch.
Yes.
Come on in and lock the door behind you.
anyways, listen, TMNT is getting rebooted by Nickelodeon.
Oh, yeah?
So.
Wait a minute. Don't tell me. TMNT. Oh, of course. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Correct.
You lost me for a second.
Sorry. I can see you're a little lost there. So Nickelodeon has released the first images of TMNT. And so basically the artwork, the style of it is going to be a little different from what we're used to. Of course, the last time we had one was 20 years ago.
Right? Yeah.
So, there's going to be a new one. The guy that's doing some of the artwork is a guy named designer Andy Suriano, and he worked on Samurai Jack, which is a little more stylized.
Right. I saw the artwork online. You sent me that link. And, it's different.
It's different. You know, it's not. It's you know.
Does it matter on an animated? You know, here you are. Hold on.
Here we go.
Beep, bop, boop. Here you and I are talking about, you know, does it matter with the actors?
Right.
Like that. Well, how about on a reboot of a cartoon?
Okay.
Does it matter the cartoon style?
Yes and no. Okay. Yes and no.
All right.
So here's what I'm going to say about that.
What are you going to say about that?
So it depends on who's watching.
Oh.
Because for example, you and I grew up on like the Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yeah.
Right?
Even Scooby-Doo.
But then I can't watch like a Space Jam movie.
Right.
Right? Because it looks too weird to me.
Yeah,
for the Bugs Bunny characters. Even
you know what? Our problem is we're traditionalists.
Okay.
We're tourists,
okay.
But give it a chance.
But who's watching the new TMNT show? Huh? Is it a kid that has
it's just getting
it
into it? It doesn't matter to them.
Or
right?
Is it you and I?
Right. That watch it and it doesn't.
So I think it matters, but it doesn't.
Ah.
One thing is interesting though. So talking about we were just talking about the actors portraying characters and. All that kind of stuff. Well, here we go. You know, April O'Neil is going to be depicted as a black character for the very first time.
I don't know who April O'Neil is.
April O'Neil is the female. She's wearing the
reporter,
yellow,
right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wearing the yellow jumpsuit all the time.
Yeah.
But she's now going to be portrayed as a black female.
Uh-huh. Right.
So you know,
in the cartoon. Okay.
So you know, again, traditionalists.
Uh-huh.
One might say that that's not right.
That's right.
Like saying, you know, now instead of
I want my old April O'Neil.
I want my
hey Chris
Peter Parker instead of Miles Morales.
Hey,
but they're saying that this is April O'Neil.
Let's go down this rabbit hole, shall we?
Oh boy, here we go. Yeah.
So if April O'Neil is a black character in the cartoon,
correct?
Do you have to get a black voice actor?
I knew you were going to ask that.
Could he be like, or she? Is it she? Yeah, she.
It's
could she be like East European?
You know what?
A Polish accent. Wouldn't that be cool?
I agree. It would be cool. And why not?
Yeah.
And my point is going to say why not. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I don't think it matters the...
Of course it doesn't matter. I'm just saying that's a cool kind of whole...
But wouldn't it be
dynamic?
Cool to have to portray even any ethnicity as
right.
The cartoon,
right.
But portray something that is not expected.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So I'm wondering if all in past cartoons, if there's an ethnicity, whether it's you know Russian or Korean or you know South African.
Well,
did they always get an actor that was of the same nationality?
I think that for the most part they do. The only time I'm
that'd be cool if they didn't.
Okay, so there was actually a time.
Uh-huh.
And man, this dates me. And nobody wants to date me. So
yeah, Trish, here, let me pour you some more.
Would you mind the Lonely Hearts Day is coming up soon? There was a Spider-Man cartoon.
The twist of lime, you like that in your club.
Thanks. Spider-Man cartoon, and Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Uh-huh.
There was an episode where they met up with the X-Men.
Right.
And in that X-Men episode, Wolverine was there. And in that, the portrayal of the Wolverine character
uh-huh.
was actually an Australian accent.
Crikey!
Him a piece of skewered fruit, which is what I believe he said as he shish kebabbed some fruit with one of his claws.
Right.
So then that was weird because I wasn't expecting it, but it was clearly memorable.
Right, and it was an homage.
It was an homage
to Hugh Jackman.
Well,
who's Australian?
Maybe a bit of foreshadowing, if that's possible.
Oh, earlier?
It was. Well, this is back in the. Early 80s.
Sorry.
So
yeah, you're right.
Like 30 years ago.
It was foreshadowed.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is weird, but I never thought of that until just now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, how about that?
Hey.
But, yeah, so weird.
It put a thought in a casting guy's mind.
It may have. You never
15
know.
15 years later.
It may have.
Yeah.
But it was very strange, but I think that, you know, I think nowadays you could probably get away with it. And I don't mean get away with it in the sense that, it wouldn't be thought of as being cool or anything like that. I think 20 years ago when cartoons were voiced, the stereotypes were so strong back then.
Ooh.
It would have been hard for somebody to imagine a character with a different accent based on the way they're looking in the cartoon.
Right.
But I think today's standards have changed a little bit. And I think that it's I think people are more accepting today than they were 20 years ago.
You know when we're going to get to full acceptance?
What's that?
When a female voice can voice a male character.
True enough.
All right. Let's keep going here. Let's keep moving before we get ourselves into some sort of trouble.
Right. Okay, you know what?
With the CRTC.
Look, I know you want to talk about Shazam.
I don't really want to talk about Shazam.
Okay, can we talk about...
Except to say, Shazam! That's all. The only
okay.
Reason to put that in.
I want to talk about Marvel making their own comic, or making their own comics, or Archie, or Damage.
All right, why don't we start with Archie and then go to Marvel?
Okay, so listen. So this is a good question. I got to ask you another
question. Ask me a question.
I'm full of questions tonight.
You're full of something today, Chris.
So Archie seems to be making an unprecedented comeback.
Unprecedented.
In my opinion, only.
Don't call it a comeback. It's been here for years.
But...
as a quote.
Nice. Is that Run DMC or something?
No, I think it's LL Cool J.
It just seems like Archie's making a huge comeback these days with Riverdale, with the comics that there's all kinds of cool. There's like the Jughead, the Hunger,
right? And the zombie stuff,
the zombie, yeah. The afterlife with Archie.
Uh-huh.
There's a new one coming out,
Vampirella.
No, it's hold on, was it? It's
Vampire Archie,
Veronica, but it's like
Veronica Vampire,
Veronica or something.
Oh,
like that.
Cool.
Something like that.
I'll buy that one.
So there's lots of
whose baby is that?
But then there's lots of stuff going on. As I said, the Riverdale. It just seems that Archie is making a huge comeback.
Well, listen, Chris.
And so now there's going to be an Archie heavy Heritage auction coming up.
Heritage, yeah.
Heritage.
They're a big auction.
Yes.
Archie Publications is probably one of the best examples. You know, you and I have tried to discuss a little bit today, touched on it a few times, of throwing away convention. You know, why stick with our old traditions? Why not explore?
Yeah.
And Archie, over the last 10 years, Archie Publications has done a fantastic job of reimagining themselves and not being imprisoned by the old Archie.
Yeah.
And that's a success story in how far they've come. But the nostalgia and what, not but, what am I saying, but, what that has done is it's driven up interest in the old, early nostalgia Archie. Right.
So, and I agree. And you know what?
And there's a lot of them up. A lot of these pieces, a lot of these early Archie covers, Archie comics, up on the Heritage auction,
yep.
Which is coming up. I think maybe in a few weeks from now,
February 22nd to 24th.
Right.
So I am a classic example of that,
mm-hmm.
because I've always liked Archie. I've never really been a huge fan.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason now, and maybe it's nostalgia. Maybe it's. I don't know, just because I've been inundated with superheroes for so long.
Uh-huh.
I'm now looking at Archie and saying, hey, you know what? These covers are pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, there's some great artwork. Dan DiCarlo, famous Archie artist, and
Stan Goldberg.
Stan Goldberg. Uh-huh. You know, and nowadays Dan Parent's been doing Archie. But you know, it's something that I'm noticing more and more than I have ever before in my life.
Well, it's funny. I did a piece on Comic Book Daily. You should go on and read it. It's Undervalued Spotlight on. But it doesn't matter what the piece I did on. But I talk about the popularity of that era of comics, especially the 40s, where a thing called good girl art.
Yeah.
Which meant, really means like really voluptuously well-drawn, attractive girls,
yeah.
That young boys would want to buy the covers for the comics because
right.
The girls were bodacious and curvy and
yeah,
sexy,
yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And every boy wanted to giggle and buy that.
Right,
but,
right.
So there was a phase of Archie, not many people know, there was that early phase of Archie,
yeah.
Where Archie didn't look anywhere near like
he
is right now.
No,
he looked like an absolute doofus, which was by design.
Huge.
Betty and Veronica were like vixens.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
weren't like cute girls next door and whatever, like
yeah.
in the 60s and 70s, Archie, that your mom and grandma bought at the supermarket counter.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? They were like, you know, sex kittens. They
totally.
Were like femme fatales almost.
Yeah.
They and it's these Archies, these Archie covers that were ignored for like 40 years.
Yeah.
You know, like, an example, I think
Archie
50, you and I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Honest to God, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, you might have found that in a bargain bin somewhere.
Yeah.
For like 20
yeah.
bucks,
yeah.
right? And that same copy now probably gets $700 or $2,000,
yeah.
heaven forbid.
Yeah.
Right? It's just nuts, the interest in good girl art Archies.
Yeah, it's crazy,
right?
Isn't it?
And very early Archies. Those are the two main things. So you get key issues like Pep 22, the first appearance of Archie.
Yeah.
Archie number one. Pep 36, the first cover with Archie.
Right,
right. The first
right.
comic with Archie on the cover.
Yeah. Does that predate even Archie number one?
I'm not sure if it does or not.
Okay.
Yeah, obviously it does.
It must, yeah.
Or maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's the first. You know what? No, I think it does.
Okay.
I think it does, yeah.
Okay.
So the interest in those early Archie appearances and key issues like 26, the first Veronica.
Yeah.
And number 50, the good girl art
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just insane now.
It's crazy.
Crazy how much, you know, Grandma may have a gold mine up in the attic.
You never know, right?
You know.
But it just seems, interesting that, okay, I realize that there's that resurgence of those books, but it seems that there's a resurgence of just Archie in general. You know, you've got, in the past couple of years, you've got classic superhero writer Mark Waid taking on the mantle of Archie Comics.
Mm-hmm.
You've got horror versions of Archie Comics.
Yeah,
you've
yeah.
got Betty and Veronica being written and drawn by Adam Hughes, who is a, you know, a legend in the comic book field.
Right, right.
Like, you've got all these amazing artists.
What better guy to take on Betty and Veronica?
Oh, absolutely.
Adam Hughes, right?
You know, it's mind-boggling the interest in Archie these days in the past couple of years, right?
Yeah.
It's just...
Anybody can jump onto Heritage Auctions, and they got a cool internet moniker or whatever name. It's H-A, ha!
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I just want to, just very quickly...
Just check out the prices.
So they've got a Pep 22, which is the first appearance of Archie,
uh-huh. yep.
Which is 6.5, and they're saying that, you know, even in 6, the value is $75,000.
Right.
Archie number 1... they've got a CGC 3, which you know is probably going to sell for around $16,000,
$18,000.
If not more.
These prices will all be shattered.
Yep. And then they've got the one that I'm interested in because it's a lower run book and it's still affordable for some people, anyways. Archie's Girls Betty and Veronica number 1.
Uh-huh.
It's a 6.5, and you've got a 6 selling at just under $1,000.
Right.
So you know,
those are guide prices, though, Chris. I think so. Well, what they do is they give you guide prices, but what you've been noticing on auctions is guide prices are irrelevant.
It doesn't matter.
Sometimes they'll go for 3-4 times guide prices.
Oh yeah,
it's ridiculous. So
sadly, I know.
Yeah. But you know what it is? It's a convergence. It's a mix of Americana. And that nostalgia-driven Americana. This nostalgia, this early Archie nostalgia, is not personal nostalgia.
No.
It's Americana nostalgia.
Right.
It's a totally different thing.
Totally.
Personal nostalgia, you'd have to be 90 years old to be chasing this stuff.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas Americana nostalgia
yeah.
is still a very powerful thing. And the beautiful part about Americana nostalgia, especially from, I would say, you know, the sweet spot is from the 1930s to maybe the 1970s,
yes.
is that the whole world wants it now. With the
right.
internet and with the,
yeah.
you know, the whole world
yeah.
is just hungry for that
all
Americana
that
nostalgia
yeah.
of that time period. So that's why you're seeing these
yeah.
ridiculous prices.
Yeah, interesting. Right. Very interesting.
All right, let's keep going.
All right, let's. I want to talk about Damage.
Talk about Damage?
Talk about Damage,
right,
DC. So DC has released their New Age of Heroes, New Age of DC, and you and I talked about this a few weeks ago, where basically I haven't actually read any of them yet, so I'm going out on a limb here,
uh-huh.
but it appears based on previews and based on reviews that I've read on the internet
mm-hmm.
that it looks like some of the characters that they're coming out with now resemble classic Marvel characters.
That's right. Yeah, we discussed that before.
So one of the ones that we talked about was a character called Damage.
We talked about the Terrifics, I think.
We talked about the Terrifics, which looked like FFF.
Right?
We talked about the Silencer, which looked like Punisher.
Right.
So there's a few different ones. There was Sideways, I think it was called. It looked like
right.
Spider-Man.
Yep.
So basically, there's damage. And I thought it was interesting that there's an article on Bleeding Cool News, or Bleeding Cool, that basically talks about how, just as we were talking about damage, we mentioned that damage looks a lot like the Hulk.
The Hulk, yes.
And basically, this article is basically saying the same thing. As, for lack of a better term, it may as well be the Hulk.
Well, Bleeding Cool listened to the show, Chris.
I think so.
These boys are awesome.
Yeah. So basically, they're talking about how, you know, there's no Bruce Banner, but we've got Elvis Avery, and he's hiding out in a homeless shelter, trying to get his bearings. Uh-huh. He's trying to stay away from Colonel Jonas. So now we've got a colonel who's after him, which seems...
Well, who was Hulk? Was he Colonel Angus?
No, Colonel... I know you were going to ask me that.
General Ross. Not Colonel Angus.
Well, oh yeah, sorry, right. Colonel Angus. do you like Colonel Angus at all? Do you like that?
I'm a big fan.
Okay, all right. Damage is, it's Bruce Banner without Bruce Banner. It's the Hulk without the Hulk.
Right.
It's
the Jonas brother guy.
Yeah.
And it's Damage.
Yeah. So
it's the Hulk.
So
it's the DC version of the Hulk.
That's right.
Chris, I don't know, and I'm bringing this up because I don't know, and I probably know you don't know. I do know. I do know one.
What's
that? This has been done before.
What's that?
This has been done before, where one of the big two just copies the other and creates a character similar. And Marvel has out-Darkseid with Thanos.
Right, okay.
That's been done before.
Right, so there's lots of examples. So if you look at, you look at Thanos and Darkseid.
Right.
Right. One of my favorite examples is, you've got Deadpool, who is Wade Wilson.
And Deathstroke.
And Deathstroke, who is Slade Wilson.
Again, Marvel outdoing DC.
Right.
So DC's sitting there, JB's sitting there in his office.
Listen there, JB.
Look here, BJ. Just stop that for a second.
Yeah.
Gotta talk to him. Look here, BJ. They keep outdoing us. Whatever we do, they do better. Let's get back at it.
Yes.
And is that what they're doing?
I think so. I think they're trying to. Whether or not it sticks, who knows?
Yeah.
You know what? And I'm saying that because I'm going to tell you right now, 20 years ago,
uh-huh.
This is probably about 20 years ago, I would have thought that Deadpool would have stuck as a character. And
right.
Now he's an enormous character.
Yeah.
Movies after being made. You know, so I don't know what to think anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if only we all had crystal balls, you could see into the future.
You got crystal balls?
I wish I did. But no, actually, I don't wish I did. I wish I had a crystal ball.
Right.
But you know what? Will Damage become, a movie 10, 15 years from now? I don't know. Maybe. So should you go out and buy Damage number one just on the possibility that it may become the most important book of all time?
You should.
Probably.
I recommend Bigby Comics as a place to go buy your 79 copies.
But, you know, I don't know. Like... who knows, right?
Yeah.
You know, as I said, I wouldn't have thought Deadpool would have made it this far, but you know, the problem is when you've been collecting for a long time, you look at new characters and you don't think that there's going to be any long-lasting possibilities for these characters because the only ones that really matter in your head are the ones that were created before your time.
Right.
So, not the ones during your time.
Right.
So, you know, even I look at a character like Venom.
Right.
Who's been around for 30 years.
Yeah, it's like,
and I think, that new character?
Yeah.
But because I'm an old guy, I don't think of Venom as being, a classic character.
I get it. You know, we grew up, we knew about Batman.
Right.
We grew up, we knew about Spider-Man.
And right? Wonder Woman and Thor.
Thor and all that kind of stuff. Whereas... as we're growing up, we see this new thing called Ninja Turtles come out, and we just dismiss it right away.
And then it's still around, 30 years later.
Yeah.
You know, and you think, oh.
It's like, hey, some guy going, hey, Walt, I got 10 of these Ninja Turtles. Can you give me $10 each for them? What are you, nuts?
Wait,
get out of here.
Yeah. But you know, if I could go back in time and buy, you know, 100 copies of Spider-Man 300, the first appearance of Venom.
Yeah, you'd be doing all right.
I'd be doing all right. Mm-hmm. You know, but at the time you think, it's just Venom.
Yeah.
Right?
It's just, and there's a million of these around. There'll always be more supply.
You know, and certainly New Mutants 98.
Right.
Who would have thought that was ever going to last?
Exactly.
You know, maybe Cable with New Mutants 87.
Yeah. We all thought 87 was the bigger book at the time.
Totally.
Remember?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
So it's really hard to... So do you take five... Well, and I am not endorsing speculating in any way, shape, or form.
Unless of course, it helps your local comic book shop.
Exactly.
Because we're here to support the local
Do you buy an extra copy of Damage or The Silencer or Sideways?
Why not? Buy an extra copy.
You could.
Buy a variant cover.
Buy a variant cover and then, you know, hope that maybe one day you might get a chance to sell it for lots of money.
But ask the guy at the counter if it's mint.
Make sure it's mint.
Make sure it's mint.
Minty mint.
Minty mint, and put it in a bag and board and tuck it away
just
somewhere.
Just like we all comics home. Bags and boards.
Bags and boards. Yes, sir.
Listen, you know what? It's an interesting concept, and I understand that people nowadays who are just entering the comic park. Okay, classic example.
Okay.
You know, there's working at a comic book store. You're at the counter, and you know, some kid comes up and says, "I've got this old comic that I want to sell."
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, he presents you with the comic. The kid's 15 years old.
Yeah, to him, it's like.
And he comes and gives you a comic that came out in 2007.
Yeah,
which is
old comic.
You know, 11 years old.
Uh-huh.
To him, it's old.
Yeah.
To us, that came out yesterday.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
It's just interesting.
No, I know it's. But you know what? Age of comics is irrelevant. It's the demand of comics that's key. Right.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, heaven forbid, but I will say that the success / failure of Damage will come down to how good it is.
I agree totally. Well, yeah, and because really, Deadpool was a nothing character until it was brought back later on by Jeff Loeb and Ed McGuinness.
Right. Sorry. All right. Hey, Chris. Listen, I think that's all the time we have.
Yeah, we're totally out of time. I kind of ranted there for a little bit.
That's all right. I'm used to it. Hey, Comic Culture is produced by Chris Owen. We're at comicbookdaily.com. So please head to go to the podcast, scroll down to the bottom, and there's a comments field. And please add your comments to...
And submit your poem.
And submit your poem, please. Please submit your poem to in the comments field. We're at getthepointradio.com. And we're always on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio stations. Please, go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.